we read the scripture in Luke chapter 24, I wanted to ask you, have you ever been around somebody famous? Have you ever been around somebody important and you did not even know it? And then all of a sudden somebody said, you know who that was? That was Prince. That was so-and-so. That was so-and-so. You know? I don't know if it's happened to you. Have you ever been around somebody like that? You know? Maybe a Saints player or a Pelicans player or somebody somehow. And then you're like, what? Yeah. It happens, right? Well, I heard this story, whether it's true or not. I couldn't tell you. But I'm going to tell you the little story about a visit. A visitor that came to Louisiana and came to visit New Orleans. They know him around the world as the Pope. And as he got in the limo, because he was going to an important meeting, the chauffeur decided, I need to take it easy. This is the Pope riding with me. So he stuck to 55 mile an hour. He wouldn't go past the speed limit. But then all of a sudden, the Pope from behind said, young man, excuse me, can you pull over? And so he did right there on I-10. And the Pope got out of the limo and said, I'm driving. Get in the back. And he went down I-10 and he was doing 85 miles an hour. 85 miles an hour. Here's the Pope driving. The chauffeur sitting in the back. And guess what? You know Kenner police? How they love to stop people? You ever been out there? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Well, they pulled him over. And the young man in uniform gets out and comes over and knocks on the window. Window comes down. He looks and he's like, whoa! He sees the Pope in the driver's seat. So he calls his captain on the radio and says, hey, man, I got a big one this time. And he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I'm telling you, I pulled over and this guy, he is got to be a big one. He's like, what do you mean? Is it like a senator? No, it's not a senator. Trust me, this guy is big. Well, is it the district attorney? Ha! That's nothing, man. This guy's got to be bigger than that. It's like, well, is it the president? It's like, dude, I'm telling you, this guy's got to be big. And he's like, who is it? He's like, well, I'm telling you, I don't know who it is because he's back there and the tint is dark, you know, in the windows in this limo, but he's got to be big because the Pope is driving him around, bro. See, he totally missed it, right? And that happens to people. Sometimes they just miss what's right in front of them. And there's a story in the Bible of a couple of men who were walking away from Jerusalem to Emmaus, a village that was about 7 miles away from Jerusalem on the western side of the Judean mountains and going towards the Mediterranean Sea. And as they were going down, you know, shuffling their sandals and dragging them around and just kind of gloomy and sad. All of a sudden, Jesus comes alongside and begins walking next to them. But the Bible says that they were prevented from recognizing him. Let's look at the text in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13 all the way through 35. Luke 24. 13-35. It says, and behold, two of them were walking or were going down the very day to the village named Emmaus. This is the very day of the resurrection, by the way, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things which had taken place. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are these words that you are exchanging with one another as you're walking? As they stood still, looking sad, gloomy, crying, however you want to paint it. One of them named Cleophas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" Jesus, he's so funny. He is so funny. And they said to him, "The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and with word in the sight of God and all of the people. And how their chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it is the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found that it was exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see."
They didn't see him. And he's standing around, oh my God.
"And he said to them, oh foolish men, of slow heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all of the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the scriptures. And they approached the village where they were going, and he acted as though he were going further." Now, I know that, you know, it's not like Jesus is being deceitful. He's, you know, he's testing him, right? I know that we do that. We test people sometimes. We tell them, "I'm not going there." And yet we are. Be careful what's in your heart, right? "But they urge him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is getting towards evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them." Of course, when it gets dark, you won't be walking out there in the streets or in those ways, because you get robbed and sacked and taken and all that stuff. It's dangerous. "When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us a while?' While he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us. And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread." Father, thank you for your word. So awesome. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to think of a couple of things here, because why didn't they see Jesus? The Bible says that, you know, they didn't recognize him. And apparently there's a reason, a divine reason behind this. Like God is trying to stop them from seeing Jesus for a moment there, to test them and for Jesus to reveal himself in a special way. Now let me tell you something. Sometimes in life you may not see Jesus working around you. But when it gets like that, just pray and don't be desperate. Don't be discouraged. You know why? Because that may mean that he's trying to reveal himself to you in a special way. But check this out. You see, while Luke doesn't explain in much detail why I didn't recognize him, you kind of get suspicious, right? And so do I. I start thinking of reasons why. And the reason why these two travelers did not recognize Jesus are the same reasons we don't recognize him today sometimes. That's what I'm thinking. One of them is because we are too busy. We are too busy. Don't you get busy? Yeah. You see, when you look at verse 29, you know, they urge him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is getting towards evening." It's getting towards evening. It's night. They've been walking. They're busy. You know, it's almost night. They've been at it all day or something. It's obvious that they get busy, and they were trying to get to their destination because the evening was coming, and you didn't want to be walking out there at night. You know, And furthermore, they were caught up with all the happenings of the weekend, right? What happened with Jesus' arrest and crucifixion and his burial and all of that stuff and all of the rumors about his resurrection. You see, they had places to go. They had people to see, things to do. But the problem with being busy is that sometimes we missed on the important things, don't we? Like the important events in our children's lives, or like the important needs of our spouses that we don't cover because we're not there, because we're too busy, because we're working too hard. We sacrifice our health. We sacrifice our time. We destroy our souls. No wonder why we don't recognize Jesus, because we're too busy doing too much other stuff. Or maybe simply, it's not because we're so busy, but simply because we're not looking for him. We are not looking for him. See, in verse 16, you notice that in verse 16 says, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. Now, is this like, once again, is this talking about because God blinded them for a little while? Or is it because they prevented themselves because they weren't really looking for him? Apparently they weren't, because they were talking about, we thought that he was going to take over and be the king of Israel. Apparently, they were not looking for Jesus. He's dead. Basically, their hopes had died, but Jesus, and they were buried in there. These two people did not recognize Jesus simply because they weren't looking for him. They had not made a connection between Jesus and all that he had said about his resurrection in Jerusalem, and then to find him in the way to Emmaus. See, Jesus promised that he would rise again on the third day, but doubt, misunderstanding, whatever it was, just made it impossible for them to recognize him. And how many times has Jesus been walking so close to some of us, even in our lives, and we don't notice it because we're not looking for that, because we're not mindful that Jesus may be working on us, because either we're too busy or we're not just looking for Jesus looking in our life or working in our lives. We know that we need him. We know and we recognize that he can help us, but yet we doubt that he's going to help us at times. If you notice, what an irony. These guys, they're telling Jesus everything that happened that day. They tell Jesus, first of all, didn't you hear? Are you the only one? Do you come here and you don't hear what's going on? First of all, the tomb is empty. Second, we know that because the girls went out there and checked it. Third, an angel spoke to them and told them Jesus wasn't there, that he was alive. And also, the disciples went right behind and looked at the tomb, and he wasn't there. Duh, you never heard that? All that stuff is running around. Everybody's talking about it, and you ain't heard it? Where have you been? In a cave or something? It's amazing. You think about it. All of the evidence of Jesus' resurrection was overwhelming. There was too much evidence of Jesus returning to life. You know, yet they know that. They've heard it. But how many people, you think about it, how many people have all the evidence of God's working around them, and yet they still do not see God? They still do not see Jesus. How many of us have had Jesus right in front of us doing something special, knowing that he's available, willing, and capable, and still not recognize him? Sometimes we just don't see because we just don't want to see, because we're not looking to what is seen. We're looking to see something else. It's like the man from Colorado who moved to New Orleans, and he built a house right there by Pontchartrain Lake. And he built a house with a big old picture window where he could look out the lake. And after he built it and he lived in it for a little while, he said, you know what? There's nothing here to see. I mean, just miles and miles and miles of water. Nothing. But then he found out about a New Orleanian who moved to Colorado. And he decided to build a house up on the Rockies. And he built a house with a big picture window where he could look out. And when he moved in it after a while, he said, there's nothing out here to see. You see, all these mountains are in my way. You get my drift? Sometimes you have these great views right in front of you, and you just don't appreciate it. You don't see them. It's amazing. Some people, check this out. Let me see if I say this right. Some people don't see what they need to see because they don't see what they want to see. Some people don't see what they need to see because they're not seeing what they want to see. Sometimes what I want to see is not exactly what I need to see. Not only that, but we're also depressed. When we're depressed, when we're sad, we just can't see anything. The Bible there says that they were, in verse 17, that they were sad. As a matter of fact, in the English Standard Version of the Bible, it says that they were full of gloom. Poor guys. They were really sad. William Barclay was the one who said, whose hopes were dead and buried along with Jesus Christ. Their grief just slowed their walk. Once again, dragging their feet to Emmaus, discussing what had happened. No doubt that they probably shed some tears and they were sobbing. And what do we do now? They were too depressed to make the connection between what Jesus had said and what Jesus was doing and who was walking alongside of them, the resurrected Savior. And also, another reason is because we're too pessimistic. We're pessimistic. We do that. We're fatalists sometimes. Nothing. We think, we always think of something that's going to prevent us from getting wherever we want to get or do whatever we want to do or see what we want to see or accomplish whatever we want to accomplish. Look at verses 25 and 26. He said to them, "Oh, foolish men, slow of heart to believe. You're slow of heart. You're fools." See, these people, they didn't lack evidence. They didn't lack anything. They heard it all. The proof was in there. And here's Jesus standing up to them, but they were lacking something that they needed, and it was hope. See, hope. Hope is like faith. Hope is expecting a future when you can't see, not even your present, maybe, right? It's amazing. It's like they just can't see the goodness in anything. Everything is just bad. You probably heard the story of the young man who wanted to experience parachuting from an airplane. So he went up, and the instructor told him, "Here's what's going to happen, my friend. When you jump off this plane, you have to worry not, because your parachute, the lanyard, will be pulled automatically and your chute should come open. But in case anything goes wrong, you may pull your backup parachute right behind your right ear. You pull it and your backup parachute should come. If your backup parachute does not come out, then there will be an ambulance waiting for you on the ground." The young man was still eager to go out there. So he jumped off the plane. And guess what? The parachute didn't open. But he remembered. Step two. Right behind my right ear. Pull the lanyard. And the extra parachute should come. So he pulled it. And nothing happened. And the young man was plummeting down to earth. And it's like you could hear him scream, "I bet you there's not even an ambulance down there." See, we're too pessimistic sometimes. No wonder we don't see the beauty of falling from the sky and looking at the earth. Sometimes great things are happening right in front of us. Sometimes Jesus is right there looking at our faces and staring at us and doing something great. And we're just like, "It can't be. I don't deserve this. I'm not good enough. I'm nothing." nothing meaningful happens to me. I don't even think there's an ambulance out there. It's amazing the things that humans do. We have an incredible capacity to doubt, don't we? An incredible capacity to doubt. We simply don't believe Jesus will show up in our lives. People's like, no, it just can't be me. That only happens to other people. You've heard that before. You see, this God stuff is for like the movies. Like God's not there. That's in the movies, but that doesn't happen in real life. But I'll tell you what, it does. And sometimes right in front of our faces. But when it does happen and our eyes are open, what happens? What happens when we see Jesus? When we see Jesus. Let me tell you something. When we see Jesus. First of all, Jesus is patient to our slowness of heart. He's very patient. There you go. He is patient to our slowness of heart. You see, he told him, he says, oh, you foolish man, you're so slow of heart to believe. Slow. You're too slow. I mean, they had, like I said, they had all the evidence. They've heard it all. Yet Jesus says, you know, you're too slow. But I thank God. You know why? Because God is a patient God. Aren't you glad that God is patient? He is. He is merciful. He is graceful. He is good. He abounds in grace. The Bible says where sin abounds, grace abounded even more. We're the ones who are a little slow. We're slow in recognizing. We're slow in acknowledging what God does. Now, but let me tell you something. We may be slow to acknowledge God and knowing God, but we're pretty quick to forget his goodness and his blessings. We're pretty quick to judge others. We're pretty quick in not forgiving and exercising our wrath upon people. But yet, he is slow to anger. He is patient. Oh, yeah. You're right, Pastor. God is really slow. Because I've been waiting on him to, and he's not giving it to me. I've been waiting on him to step in, and I've been praying you know how long. And he's not doing anything. He's slow. You're right. My God is so slow. Yeah, he's slow when we want something, and we want it right now. But we always forget that God is also patient and slow to anger. That's what he's slow at. He's patient. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Everyone. Now look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 30 and 31. I love this. However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your spirit through your prophets. This is, you know, Nehemiah talking about God's work with his people. Yet they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of the peoples of the land. See, God's like, okay, you don't want anything with me. I'm going to let you go. But nevertheless, in your great what? Compassion. You did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and compassionate God. You see, God said, okay, you don't want to deal with me? I'll let you deal with everybody else and everything else right now, and I'll just patiently wait for you right here because I don't want to destroy you because I'm compassionate and gracious. And I want to wait till you finally turn around and look at me and recognize me and say, okay, now you want me? Come on. Come on to me, child. You see, and that same thing happens to these guys on the way to Emmaus. Finally, when they get there, boom, they have this revelation. Now, of course, Jesus was incognito the whole time before they got there. And for some reason, they just said, you know what, something happened here, but they just couldn't figure it out. And even though they were still in despair, they said, well, you know what? Come with us. Oh, no, no. You're not going anywhere else. You got to stay with us. You know, it's night. It's dangerous out here. You've explained all these things to us. Man, you're a good guy. Come on over. You see, the truth of God started setting into their lives. And all of a sudden, they urge him to come home with them. I can imagine these two guys saying, hold on 1 second, and texting their wives and saying, we're bringing a friend over for dinner, so put a couple of extra tortillas out there. You know, do something. I can imagine the wives running to the kitchen and saying, we got to get this thing together. We got visitors coming. We don't know who it is. So they did. And they get to the table. And that's when it happened. Look at verse 30 and 31. When he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. Gone. Shucks! We missed him. Nope. Gone. You see, the moment of recognition came when Jesus broke the bread. It's interesting, huh? Why do you think that is? Well, many scholars believe that the reason why was that when Jesus raised his hands to bless the bread, they've seen the marks on his hands, probably. And all of a sudden, they're reminded of the 5,000 people he fed on a hill at one point. Maybe. You see, it was an unforgettable gesture. They probably saw the marks on his hands. This is a self-revelation. Jesus wants them to finally recognize him. See, now that they've seen his hands that were trespassed, all of a sudden the truth trespasses their hearts and pierces them to the deepest. Got it. We got it now. We recognize him. He is risen. It's him indeed. All right, Jesus. He's gone. Where did he go? Didn't get to hug him. Didn't get to touch him. All of a sudden the moment was burned into their minds. And thinking about, wow, weren't our hearts burning when he was telling us about all these things? Oh, man, my heart was on fire. I knew something was going on here. He was a good preacher. Is your heart on fire? I don't know if I'm that good. Think about it. Their hearts were set on fire. Their hearts were aflame with the resurrection. So they said to each other, you know, wasn't our way. Did you feel it? Oh, yeah, I felt it. Oh, man, it was hot out there. Oh, yeah, I was burning when he was talking about the scriptures. Their hearts were burning. And let me tell you, you have to understand that for the Jewish people, the heart is not just like here. The heart is here, 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 here. It's everything. It's like their emotions, their physical, their everything, their inner being, their splunkna. It's just everything just went crazy inside of them. That's what they mean when they say that their hearts were on fire. Their emotions, their intellect, their spirit, everything just went crazy. To be ablaze, to be rekindled, to be renewed, on fire. Maybe that's something you need today in your life. Well, I tell you, don't let Jesus pass by because he's right here, right now. Seize the moment and take him into your heart. See, many men and women have felt the blaze of God's truth in their hearts and they've recognized Jesus in their own lives. And have allowed his power to transform their emotions, transform their mind, transform everything about them.